and our praise song this morning. The scripture this morning comes from Psalms chapter 1, the first psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now and seeking that shelter. Each of us comes here this morning with needs. We come here, Lord, resting in the assurance of your grace through your Son, Jesus. Lord, may all that we do here, may all that is spoken be yours. In Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you see from the bulletin, the title of the sermon this morning is Blessed is the Man Who. Of course, it comes from the first line of the psalm that I just read there. Now, when I was doing this yesterday or day before, I forgot what it was, Renee was asking me, what you preaching on Sunday? And my usual smart response is sin. But this time I actually told her that I was preaching on First Psalm, and the title was Blessed is the Man Who. And her immediate response was, Blessed is the man who rubs his wife's feet. Now, I don't know how theological that is or not there, but that was her first response there. Have any of you women got any other blessed things there that you'd like to share this morning? You know, blessed is the man who you're married to. Now, that's what Renee should have said. Blessed is the man who, yeah. Or, yeah. Anybody else? Blessed is the man who washes the dishes. Okay. That's interesting. Theologically, I'm not sure where that goes, but I thought that was interesting. Blessed is the man who. Well, in the scripture here, there's a number of things that this chapter tells us what this man is blessed and how and by what he's doing. Now, first of all, I want to say, now, this is not gender specific here we're talking about when it said, blessed is the man who. Of course, the scripture here is referring to in mankind, humankind, not just the male of the human race. So, these words today that are spoken are for all of us, each and every one of us. The first thing that the psalmist teaches us in this passage is blessed is the man who is separated from the world. That first verse gives us that. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, what is this telling us? It's telling us that we need to be separate from the world. We need to be different than the world. Do we all need to come together and go out here somewhere and buy us a tract of land and build a commune and all live together, completely secluded from all the influences and the pulls upon the world that's out there? Well, no, I don't think that's what it's saying. We know that when that happens, most often it ends up with trouble. When people pull themselves apart and set themselves completely separate, dependent only upon themselves, we know things like Jonestown and Guyana happen. We know things like the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. Those kind of things happen. What this is talking about is not to make yourself totally isolated and independent and have nothing to do with the world, with the situation of the world, but it's telling us as Christians, as God's people, that we need to be different. And if people look at us in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the schools, or wherever we are, and they can't tell that we're any different from the rest of the world, then we're not doing something right. There needs to be a difference. There needs to be something visibly different about who we are and what we are. There needs to be a different spirit about us. When I was working in the prison department years ago, I didn't try to push my faith on anybody there or I didn't even try to push my faith on the inmates that were there. But on several occasions, I would have inmates come up to me individually and they'd say, "Are you a Christian?" And I'd say, "Well, yeah, I happen to be. I do. I am." And I said, "How did you know?" And they said, "There was just something different about you." And so, you see, I wasn't going in there and taking my Bible around and thumping it and preaching death to sinners and hell to all of you that are in here. I was just simply trying to treat people decently like I would want to be treated. People can tell the difference. In this passage here, this verse, it says, notice it says, it kind of gives a progression there, this verse does. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. Walks, stands, and sits. It's kind of a progression there of how we can get trapped in the world. You know, it's one thing to walk where sinners are at and where the world operates. And it's just almost impossible for us not to be involved in that. And rightly so, we should be involved in the world. Because if we're just around Christians, how are we sharing the good news of Christ? There needs to be a certain amount of involvement in the culture and in the world in which we live so that we can share Christ. But he says, it talks about walking. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walking is just kind of going through. Then it talks about standing. Now, when you're standing in amongst the world and the situations, you can be influenced a lot more by it. You can be trapped into it a whole lot more. And then the third one, it says, do not sit. Well, if you sit in it, then you've just come and residing in it now. I'm not walking in it anymore. I'm not even standing and kind of, watching what's going on. But I've just sat down and taken residence in it. You know, in the Old Testament, in the Jewish times, the teacher didn't stand up to talk like it is in most situations today in our schools, our universities, seminaries, wherever. The teacher stands up most of the time now in lectures. But in that day, it was to sit down. The teacher would sit and talk and share and expound upon the Scriptures, upon the law, upon the words of the prophets. It means, it seems to me, that the psalmist is telling us here that we don't need to jump in and become part of the world. We don't need to be teaching what the world is teaching and living what the world is living. We need to be separate. We need to be different. We need to be visibly apart from what the world offers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, I just want to read you a few verses there. The Apostle Paul confirms that. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord the Almighty. God is calling us to be different, to be set apart, to be separate in and amongst the world. The second thing that blessed is the man who we see here. Blessed is the man who is saturated with the Word. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Day and night. Delight is in the law of the Lord. We must be saturated with the Word. We cannot do God's will and stand in God's good favor without understanding what He's calling us to do and who He's calling us to be. And to do that, we need to understand the Scriptures to a certain degree. Are we going to understand it all? Are we going to memorize it cover to cover? I don't know about you, but I'm certainly not. I don't have that kind of mind to do it. But we have to immerse ourselves in what God has given us as His precepts, His guidelines. We need to be saturated with the Word. The law was the focal point for the Israelites. It was the focal point for the Jewish worship and for their faith. See, we're not equipped to deal with the world in a godly way without being saturated with that Word that God has given us. When he writes this second verse here, he notice what he says. He starts off with, but his delight. And he's kind of juxtaposing that to walking, standing, and sitting in the council and the presence and in the seat of the ungodly. Instead of those things, we need to be doing this. This is where we're directed to go. We need to be filled with God's Word. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16 says, I found your Word and I ate it. Now, that doesn't mean that he cut the Bible up and wadded it up in little pieces and consumed it physically. It's referring to digesting it, taking it in, making it part of who you are. I ate your words. We need to internalize God's Word in our life. Allow Him to write it upon your hearts. Those hearts of stone that Jeremiah talks about changing, make it a heart for Him. Blessed is the man then who is secured by the Lord. Blessed is the man who is secured by the Lord. The first part of verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree. We can add planted to that. He shall be like a tree planted. Now, what is a tree? What does that mean when it talks about he's like a tree? A tree was symbolic of something that was immovable, that was firmly fastened, firmly in place, stable, unmoving. It might bend with the winds. It might sway with the winds as they came through with the storms. But it stayed in the same place. The tree was pruned from time to time to get rid of the stuff that wasn't any good, the stuff that wasn't producing, the stuff that was dying and decayed. But the tree itself was unmoving. You could not pluck up a tree from here and plant it over there. To move the tree meant death. We must not allow the forces out here in the world today, any force of life, to move us from where God has placed us and where He's called us to. Now, what kind of place is Jesus, has God called us to? What kind of place has He placed us? Where is He? What has He done for us that we can't be moved from? Folks, we can't be moved from the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have to make that confession, the first confession of the Christian church. To be called a Christian in the days of the apostles, the first century church, you had to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. We cannot be moved from that fact. That tree is as firmly planted in who we are as anything can possibly be. We can't be moved from the fact, we must be planted in the fact that Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And we must be planted in the fact that we are justified by grace through faith. Not by ourselves. Not by our ancestors. Not by our attendance in church. but purely God's free gift of grace to us. And notice that idea of planting there. Planting means that it wasn't us who planted ourselves. We didn't plant ourselves in Christ, but God planted us there. It's an involuntary, it's an unknowing act. It's not something that we did for ourselves. It is God and God alone who placed us in that situation. The fourth thing where the man is blessed by God is situated by water. In that same third verse there, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. God does the planting, and He will not plant a person in a place that they can't grow, that they don't have what's necessary to flourish. He will not plant you in a desert where there is no water, where there is no chance for you to be fruitless. In the 23rd Psalm, Jesus says, or the psalmist says, He leadeth me, speaking of God, beside the still waters. It is God who does the leading, the planting, the placing. He puts us in places where we can get what we need. Maybe not always everything we want, everything we desire, but what we need. He puts us beside the waters where we can be nourished and grow and bear fruit. He gives us what we need to be successful according to His purposes, His plans, and not our own. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus talks about being the vine, the true vine. And if we are connected to Him, rooted and planted with Him, we will bear the fruit that He intends us to bear. The fifth and final thing that the psalmist tells us here is, blessed is the man who is safe in his walk. Verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Folks, if we have been planted, if we have made that commitment, if we have given ourselves to Christ, we can be safe in our walk. Now, the Bible speaks of two ways, only two ways. Speaks of the narrow, the way that's not so easy. Speaks of the wide that leads to destruction. It's a constant biblical theme that culminates with Christ in His words in the 14th chapter of John, where He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word knows in this passage here says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. This is a word that means that God is not just simply aware of where you are, but that He is involved with you. Now, I talk a lot about a personal relationship with us and Christ, with God. And most of the time we think about that, it's a personal relationship that we initiate by saying yes to Christ when He comes, when He calls, when He moves us, when we feel the warmth and the tug of His heart. But I want to tell you today that there's a different aspect than that, and that's part of it. We do have that personal relationship, and it's our responsibility that we nurture it and we build it and we do all we can to keep that connection. But God is the one who initiates the relationship. God is the one who knows you. He is the one that wants that personal relationship. He's the one that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be brutalized by the human race, the race of people that He created. It was Jesus Christ, God's Son, who reestablished the possibility of a relationship with the Father. Folks, it's not our doing. Once again, we come back to grace and God's justification through grace. Not our own, but all about Him. God has not just an awareness of us, folks, but He has an intimate knowledge of who we are. And He desires, He is reaching, searching, knocking, seeking constantly to make that relationship one that's vital, one that's nurtured, and one that grows. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the person. Blessed are the people who are separated from the world. God will bless you. He won't turn His back on you and leave you all alone. Make yourself look different in the world. If you follow Christ, if you follow God, you're going to. Be saturated with the Word. Meditate upon it, the Scriptures say, day and night. That means in every situation and in all times, think about what God's Word can do for you and how it can impact your life. Blessed is the man who is secured by the Lord. We didn't plant ourselves in this place and in God's heart. He put us there. Blessed is the man who is situated by the water and can be fruitful. God put us in a place where we can grow. And blessed is the man who is safe in his walk. And we're safe because Christ has paid the penalty. Today, I invite you, if you are not feeling blessed, if you feel like you're all alone and the world has broken down around you and crashed in on you and kicked you in the teeth, that you can be blessed by the Father. That you are blessed by the Father. If you will trust Him, call upon Him, and seek the safety of walking not among the ungodly, but among the righteous. May God bless you and give you His grace. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You love us so much that You've gone to the extreme condition of giving us Jesus. When we are unworthy, when we are disobedient, when we desire only our own, You bless us. Lord, may the struggles that we encounter, the struggles that we are experiencing, may the places we are in life be overshadowed by Your love this day. May You speak to our hearts. May You draw us ever close. And may Your grace transform our lives. All this we pray in Christ's name.